You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God, as you see that, open your Bible at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Praise God. We love the Word, yeah. Amen. We are a Word people. Hallelujah. I don't even want to begin to think where I would be without the Word. I don't want to allow my mind even to go there. Come on, have you say the same thing? I thank God for His Word. Verse 1. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now you might recall, if you read this before, is that Samuel, remember, his mother was not able to fall pregnant. She was barren, and she went that day and she made a covenant before God that if she was able to fall pregnant, then she would give her son in the service of the Lord. And so when he was born, she kept her word and took him to the temple and gave him to Eli to bring up. That's an amazing thing. You know, if you make a promise that you're going to give your child to the Lord, she actually went and dropped him off. Now, we're not asking anyone to drop their children off at the church. But it was an amazing thing because there was a call on this young man's life. And he was raised by Eli. And yeah, as a young man, the word says, yeah, that there was no widespread revelation. In other words, there were not prophets that were heeding the voice of God. God would speak, and we're going to see that God speaks all the time. But very often what happens is when you go through patches where the servants are not listening, then God is not able to manifest that in the earth. And something we must remember is that whatever God does, whatever He says, is chosen to do that through a man. Why? Because when He put Adam in the earth, He gave him authority in the planet. He said, "You have dominion." And so God, by His own call and His own word, has decided to work through a man, through men. And so the voice of God, when you hear Him, comes through a man. When God does something in your life, think about it. Most miracles that you've experienced have come through somebody. If you've ever said, "God gave me something," it came out of a person's hand. Isn't that right? Even healing, when somebody lays hands on you, then God moves and heals that person. Everything that we have in our lives, God works through people. And God said Himself, "Unless I don't do anything unless I first tell my prophets." And so it's interesting to know that if we're wanting to see God move, we have to be positioned. If we want to hear from God, we have to be listening. If we want to see God's power and His provision and His healing miracles, we have to be the ones that have to lay hands, give. We have to move forward. And when we do, you will always see God move. And so, yeah, at this time, there's a drought as far as the word goes. People haven't been hearing because it's not because God stopped speaking, they weren't listening. And you'll discover as you study it out that Eli, and because of his sons that had committed profane fire before the Lord, they weren't obeying the laws according to the way God had established them. So the very priesthood itself was not in line with God's word. And then verse 2, it came to pass at that time when Eli, he is the priest at the time, was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And so he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. You got the picture. This young boy is lying in his bed and he hears a voice call him. But out of lack of experience, he thinks it's Eli. That's how clear it was to him. So he ran to the next room and said to Eli, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you." And so evidently that must have only been the two of them in that domain there. So otherwise Eli might have said, "Maybe it's the guy next door." No, he said, "No, I didn't call you, go back to bed." So verse 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And so Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So there you go. That's what I was talking about. He's in his inexperience. He was not able to discern what's happening here. And verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Everyone say the third time. And so he arose and he went to Eli and said, Here I am, you did call me. And Eli perceived that's the Lord that had called the boy. And so he said, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Everybody say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Everybody say that again. Speak, for your servant hears. Family, God is speaking all the time. He's talking to us all the time. And I know sometimes people say, I wish I could hear the voice of God. And the point is, He is speaking. He is speaking. Someone says, but I never hear Him. No, He is speaking. But we need to learn to recognize that voice. Just the same way Samuel heard the voice, but he didn't know it was God. He didn't even know you could hear God speak. I remember when I was first taught this message, after being saved, my very first Sunday was another message. I won't go into that for now. But the very next Sunday, Pastor Theo started a new message and was my very first series, full series. In other words, when I first got saved, I heard the last part of the last series. But then my first series was the next Sunday, and it was how to recognize the voice of God. And I remember sitting there when he announced it, when the previous week they handed out the pamphlets about what the next series was going to be. I still looked and I thought, what? You can hear God talk? I thought that was just a thing. Like, you know, it was, yeah, we saw it in the Old Testament, but, you know, they needed to do that today. The church I grew up in, they denied all kinds of miracles. You can't just call on miracles. You can't just decide, you know, and all the tongues were done away with and all this stuff we've already covered many times in different series. And then I didn't know, one of the things was I did not know you could even hear God's voice. And why would he talk to me? Yes, he needs to talk to the head guy. He needs to look, you know, those that are leading the church. Maybe they hear God, but I didn't even know God spoke to them. And so I was so excited because if you can hear God's voice, I want to hear His voice. And yeah, we find out that's exactly what it is. Samuel said that he heard a voice audibly. He could, to him, it was like Eli next door calling him out. And so he could hear his voice, but he didn't know it was coming from God. Family, God loves you, and He wants to help you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that if your company was about to go bankrupt and they were just going to have to lay everybody off, but if you resign now, you'd still get all your full payout and your leave pay and everything. Wouldn't it be nice to know ahead of time God says that you need to leave this company now? Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't that be good to know? Wouldn't you want to know where your next house is going to be? And for those that are not married, it would be good to know who your spouse is going to be. Amen. We don't have to be like the world, dating 100 people, hoping we find the right one somewhere. You can have God lead you and direct you in very important decisions. Do we move? Do we go to another country? Do we take the vaccine or don't we? You know, there's so many things that are important in life. They're important. We don't just laugh off the fact that people struggle with making those decisions. Why do you think there's such controversy about whether we do or whether we don't? Because there is so much fear out there. There is so much information. And obviously, if you've got two sets of information, one of them's wrong. At least one, if not both. And there's a third that's a truth that no one's talking about. You know, but which one is right now? How do I navigate myself through this world when I know that out there is an enemy trying to take me down? There's a devil trying to stop you from reaching your destination. Wouldn't it be nice to know ahead of time that if the road is washed out, you would like to have an emergency vehicle standing there saying, listen, the bridge is gone, you need to stop here. Yeah. You don't want to go over the edge of the bridge and then find out it's not there. No, God is warning you ahead of time. He's telling you how to navigate life. He's way ahead of what the enemy's got planned. No matter what the enemy's devised for your life, God has already ordained for you to have the right answer. And He's talking to us and releasing that in our lives all the time. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says that Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He also is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Everybody say, a better covenant, established on better promises. What's that talking about? Well, when we read the Old Covenant, that's the Old Testament. And yeah, we see a young boy hearing God. How many of you know that this man, this young boy, the Bible says he didn't even know the word. He didn't know God. And if he didn't know God, you know for a fact that he's not even serving God in the real sense, because Eli wasn't raising him that way. He did. If it says he doesn't know the word, that tells me his mentor didn't even teach him the word he knew. And then not only that, he's not born again. He's not saved. He doesn't have the Spirit within him. And yet he could hear God clearly speaking, that it sounded like another man in the next room. And then not only that, when you look through the Bible and you see all the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, the feeding of the children of Israel in the wilderness and bringing water out of a rock, amazing things that happened. The fact that God would bless them and multiply them and increase them. Even in times of drought, they could plant seed and produce a hundredfold. Now, how many of you know that that's under the Old Covenant? People that didn't know Jesus as a Lord and Savior, that were not children of God. They were known as the children of Israel. They were known as servants of God. But praise God, you and I are born again, and we are Christ. And if we are Christ, we're no longer servants, but sons. And how many know a father's going to look after his son way better before he does look after a servant? Our Father loves everybody. He'll love his servants just as much as He loves his son. But how many know a son is an heir, a co-heir with Christ? And so the same way, we have this new covenant and better promises. So if they could hear God under the old covenant, then surely under better promises, better covenant, we're going to hear God even better. Family of God, I want us to know, I want us to hear from the Word of God. God wants you, yes, you, to know and to recognize the voice of God. This is not just for the prophets and the pastors and the people that say, ah, you're God speaking, hallelujah, thus saith the Lord. Praise God. Amazing how God goes into Elizabethan English when He needs to prophesy. But bless that's just us as humans. I'm not calling anybody out on how they do it. But the point I'm making is not just for people that have to speak, you know, in a church service. No, God's speaking to all of us. Say, God's speaking to all of us. Have a look at John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Remember, He's talking to His disciples here who are not yet born again. And so he would talk to them and he'd teach them the word. He'd demonstrate the kingdom. He would show how he would pray and he could do miracles. And he said, it's not me that does the works, it's the Father in me who does it. And so he's demonstrating, and all they could understand is what they could see. They didn't have the Spirit in them. They weren't born again. They couldn't understand the concept of the kingdom. Even when they were saying, Lord, are you bringing the kingdom in now? What they meant is, are you going to overthrow the Roman government and set up the kingdom of Israel again with a king? And he said, no, you don't understand. My kingdom's not of this world. It's not over there. It's not over here. It's within you. And they were like, well, I just didn't get it. And that's why he would teach in parables, so that at least they could understand the concept using natural things. But he says, there's still so much. What I really want to teach you is beyond your natural ability to understand. It's going to go beyond science. It's going to go beyond maths. It's going to go beyond anything to do with literacy. It's going to go beyond your understanding of your language. What I have to teach you, you yourself can't get it now. But I will be able to. I want to impart it into your life. And he says, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, everyone say he, the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And he says he's going to send this person, the Holy Spirit, who is God. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Family of God, if Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will speak and tell you things to come, evidently, if someone's speaking, it's for you to hear. Why would he speak if no one would hear him? Does that make sense? Otherwise, he would just say he'll reveal or he'll show or he'll do something in your, you'll make the flowers blow when there's no wind. No, it didn't say that. It said he will speak. And if he's speaking, it's so that you can hear. If he's telling you something, means you're going to hear something. Say that. If somebody's telling me something, it means I should be able to hear it. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, say it, when the Holy Spirit speaks, I will hear it. And he's speaking to me to guide me into the truth. And listen to this. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has on mine, therefore I have said he will take of mine and declare it to you. Listen to the same verse from the New American Standard Bible. John 16, verse 13. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will disclose to you what is to come. He's to disclose to you. He's revealing to you. How many of you would like to know what's going to happen tomorrow and next week? And next month, wouldn't you like to know when the gold price is at its lowest? Imagine the Holy Spirit tells you, this is the lowest gold's ever going to be. You're going to buy as much as you can so that it can increase. Wouldn't you like to know? He's going to say, you see that property out there where nobody wants to buy? Go get yourself 3 acres. Wouldn't you like to know that in 10 years' time, that area suddenly booms and everybody is paying millions of rands to get in there? Family of God, if you have to make a very important life decision, for example, planting a church, Janine and I didn't just wake up one morning and trying to figure my life out, and I was in computers, do I go and am I going to be the next Bill Gates? You know, maybe I should go and develop a software firm, or you know, maybe I should invest, maybe. I don't know. I can understand that. Maybe, oh no, I know what. I'll go start a church. That's not the conversation somebody has. It's when you're getting on with your own life and doing your own thing. And one day as I was busy praying and I was lying on my study floor and going through the Word and just reading what my pastor had been teaching and going through the Scriptures, and I came across another verse. And I had been told by my church that this has gone away and this passed away and that doesn't happen and this is done anymore. I wonder, what do you ever talk about? What is God doing? And then as I was reading through my Bible, I got to a verse, and that verse said something that I'd never seen before. And I thought, look at this, it's in the Bible. And I grew up in a church and I never saw this. And this holy anger came over me, and I stood up on my feet and I lifted the Bible in the air. I said, God, why are more people not teaching this Bible? And I heard in my spirit, would you? It's like Samuel. I'm wondering, is there someone else in the room? That's how clear it was. Would you? And I stood there, my hands started shaking. Would you? What did I just say? Why are more people not teaching this Bible? Would you? And all of a sudden, your mind goes to all the natural. But I'm successful. I've got this plan. I've just been promoted. I've just got this new project. In my mind, the way I understood the ministry where I grew up was everybody, you know, got good jobs. Everybody went out and worked, and those that couldn't, shame, they ran the church for us. That's what I thought were pastors, people who couldn't get a good job, and so they went and looked after the church. Now God's asking me, would I? I'm not that guy. I've got ambition. I'm striving. I'm doing well, okay. I've got promotions ahead of me. Would you? But it was so clear, you couldn't deny it. Would you? Family of God, you make a major decision where you pass up a career where you're doing well and you've got a pathway ahead of you. I've got all shares in the company and things that are, I was set to be a multimillionaire many times over. And now you've got to lay that all down and go into the ministry with that wrong understanding. I'm talking about a mindset that thought, no, I'm going to have to give up everything. But damn, you know, if God says do it, you do it. That's a decision I made. Why? Because it was so clear. Why? Because He showed me things to come. He revealed to us what's going to happen. And when you know what's going to happen and you know what's going to come, it then becomes easy to make a decision. The only reason we ever sweat over decisions is because we're not sure what the outcome's going to be. If I do this, what's it going to do to me? And now we should I, shouldn't I? What are you worried about? Because if it doesn't work, then it's going to hurt me. But if God says, go, you don't care what it is. You don't care what it's going to cost you. Even if He says, give up everything, I'm prepared to do that because my God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He always provides every need. He'll never leave me worse off than I was before. His whole kingdom's about increase and multiplication, that even if I emptied my bank account today, it doesn't mean I'm over. It means there's more to come. And so if He says, go over, yeah, or do that, you make the decision becomes very easy to do. And you can move forward because you're in the confidence He's revealed you and He showed you things to come. Now, when God speaks to us, how many of you know He's not talking to your ear? Otherwise, everybody would hear Him all the time. Look at John chapter 10, verse 1. Say this, when God speaks to me, He speaks to me through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. Now, here he's talking about Satan. illegally entering the earth. When God created the earth, He created it for man. It's evident because on the last day, the sixth day of creation, He created man, put him in the earth, and He said, now you take dominion. You have full authority. Satan came, and he was a fallen angel cast to the earth because of sin, trying to rebel and take over heaven. So he goes to man and he says to man, and he gives him, I won't go into the full detail for time's sake, but he lays out before him and he's asking, he's questioning whether God is his only authority. Maybe he can get information from somewhere else. And the moment man submits to that call, he gives himself over to Satan, and Satan, through high treason of Adam, hijacks the earth and takes it illegally. He did not have the authority, he took it. Now he's in the earth illegally. The only people who have any authority in the earth is a human born from a woman. That's the only people who have authority on the planet. No demon has authority. Any authority Satan thinks he has is what is given by a man. That's evident because when the devil tried to tempt Jesus and get him to bow before him, he showed him all the kingdoms on the earth and he says, all these kingdoms have been given to me. Who gave them? Adam. But Jesus was coming back to get those kingdoms back. Now, notice, for Jesus to get the kingdoms back as a man, he had to be born through a woman. Notice, God could have stood up right there in the garden and said, excuse me, I'm still God of this planet. How dare you try and take my man and just run the devil off? No, God didn't have that authority. He had delegated that authority to Adam. That's why the Word of God says, you submit to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee. That's why Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, what you allow on earth, heaven will comply. So now, the only way for God to get the earth back wasn't as God, because he had put the authority in man. And so for Jesus to get that back, he said, for this purpose the Son of Man has come, to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost to the enemy, Jesus came to get it back, but he came back to do that as a man. And so to do that as a man, he had to legally enter into the earth. That means he had to be born through a woman. So Jesus is here legally. He says, anyone else that tries to come in without the legal way is a thief and a robber. And he says, verse 2, but he who enters by the door, that is, in other words, he entered the earth legally, he is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, listen to this, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Come down to John chapter 10, verse 27. Look at verse 27. Everybody read this out loud together with me. Ready? Read. Read it again. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. How many of you believe you are a sheep of the great shepherd Jesus? Raise your hand. Say, I am a sheep of the great shepherd Jesus. And Jesus said, I hear his voice. Did he say that? Then, family of God, I put it to you, you do hear the voice of God. Someone says, but I've never heard Him. Are we going to go with Jesus or are we going to go with you? Well, then, I don't know what He's talking about. Well, that's what we're doing now. If He says, my sheep hear my voice, family of God, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, from the mouth of Jesus Himself, you do hear His voice. Now, we have to figure out what that sounds like. Because if you're hearing it, it means you didn't recognize it. And if I didn't recognize it, I may think it's another man in the next room calling me, just like Eli. How many of you want to hear His voice? You do. How many want to know how to recognize that voice? That's what we're going to be having a look at over the next number of weeks. We're going to figure out what that voice sounds like. And family of God, again, I want to encourage you, even if this is the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time you've heard it, I'm studying it myself. And again, I'm encouraged by it. I don't just teach you things. I study them before I teach you. Because this is one series that I have studied every single year of my Christian life since that first time I heard it. Why? Because this is one of the most critical things any believer can learn. And I will show you from the Word of God that even your ability to receive your healing, your provision, is founded in your ability to hear the voice of God. Those that hear the voice of God experience God at His fullness more than you ever would if you just drift through your Christian life. But here at the Bay Christian Family Church, we always make sure that you are well-equipped and well-trained. And so we're going to take some time to spend time in the Word so that we can develop our capacity to be able to recognize His voice, to be sensitive to it, and to know when it's God speaking. When is it God? And when is it my mind? How many of you know you can come up with a good idea, but it's not a God idea? How many had good ideas blow up on you? Put that in inverted commas, because you realize they're not as good as we thought they were. But we need to learn to discern the difference between hearing our own minds, the enemy's trying to speak to us. When is it God? And when it's God, you can be free to follow Him. How are you ready for that study? Amen. You get something today? Come on, let's give Jesus praise. Amen. Let's stand together. Lift your hand to the Lord and say, today I've heard the Word of God. And I am a believer, not a doubter. As a hearer of God's Word, I'm also a doer. And without a doubt, I am convinced God says in His Word that He speaks to me and I hear Him. The Holy Spirit is guiding me into truth. He's showing me my future. And so today, I receive that. I am convinced, I believe, I hear the voice of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.